If you are politically correct or easily offended, move on to another show. But if you want to hear the truth, keep listening. Brothers at Arms starts right now.
When you're born in this world, you're given a ticket to the freak show. And when you're born in America, you're given a front row seat.
We gather tonight at a dramatic and deeply promising time in our history and in the history of man on Earth.
So they don't. Nobody wants to rock the boat. Nobody wants to change. Don't change anything. And we're in a nice downward glide. I call it circling the drain.
We reward stupidity in this country. We reward people with multi-million dollar TV contracts so that all the other stupid people can sit around and watch how stupid these people are. Stupidity is a virtue in this country.
These people are psychopaths to the worst order.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
You are listening to Brothers at Arms with Ira Robinson and Joe Long. This show airs Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. The cold hard truth has no fear on this show.
I think Americans have worked extremely hard not to see the criminality that their officials and their policymakers have exhibited.
There is no fear, there is no qualms about having any kind of political correctness here, and we have no fear of offending anybody. Hello, everybody. My name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Joe Long. Welcome to Brothers at Arms.
Yet another episode, and hopefully we have a good one for you guys in store tonight. How are you doing tonight, Joe?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad at all. It's almost the end of the week. Yes. been another long week.
You seem to be professional at having those.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to the end of this one. My boy will be home. He has been with his mother for spring break all this week. I am seriously looking forward to him being home.
He's gonna be a holy terror when he comes back home.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be an absolute nightmare. But I miss him. I'm ready for him to come home.
Yep. That's how I am. Whenever I see my daughter who is away, a long way away, and I miss her very much. Well, guys, we have a big episode in store for you guys tonight. We have, I think, a variety of topics tonight. We're going to hit and miss a couple of things here, sort of overall. I know, first of all,
this is our anti-politically correct campaign.
Yes.
You know, you've heard everybody starting to talk about the 2016 presidential campaign. Well, this is the Brothers at Arms 2016 anti-politically correct campaign kickoff party right here tonight.
Absolutely. And, you know, This has really been kind of a weird week, hasn't it? There's been a lot of really big news that's come out. I mean, yes, of course, Ted Cruz, he's announced his presidency, and we're seeing Hillary trying to start on her whole shebang going on.
And Hillary doesn't have a snowball's chance in Hades.
Well, you know, she definitely doesn't.
Especially with all the scandal that's going on around.
Well, I was just about ready to bring that up, especially considering right now this whole email crap, which I have not really gone into that much on my show, just because that portion of things I think is a really big distraction technique that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
But based upon the things that have gone on with her with this, I wonder who she pissed off. Because according to 18 U.S. Code section 2071B, if I remember correctly, that code states that any public official who has or a federal employee who has willfully destroyed any kind of evidence or any kind of things like that that are in their possession is subject to fine, imprisonment, or both, and is disqualified from being able to hold any public office.
Right. Well, she probably pissed off Soros or, the Dark Lord of the Sith, George Soros. Yes.
Well, I have one thing to say to that.
Yes! I like it.
Had to throw that in there.
I had a feeling I was going to hear that. She either him or Acorn. I mean, because she has publicly opposed the great dictator. She has publicly opposed the Messiah, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, you know, the interesting thing with that is that at the same time that all this whole scandal crap is going on, the White House has basically said they're not going to reply to any kind of Freedom of Information Act requests that come through the office that deal with any kind of emails or anything like that. They've said they're going to flat out deny any of them. So I wonder what dark secrets they're holding in their email caverns, you know? Anyways, so...
And that's a perfect segue. You know, speaking of Barack Obama and the White House...
I was just about ready to bring up the topic. Go for it.
It was revealed this week that the first Senate-confirmed head of the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosive Agency is resigning to take a job in the private sector. Now, I've had – my dad and I both have had friends that have been agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, or as I call them, booze, butts, and bangs. Hey, it's appropriate.
Are you going to make me play the I Like It clip again?
But a lot of the, you know, and the, you can read the story that we got this from. It'll be on our show notes this week. But, you know, this is the guy that came in after the last director who was forced to resign because of the whole Fast and Furious debacle.
Yeah.
And now this guy is resigning. Mainly because he is resigning in protest because the ATF has decided and the Congress has decided to stop the ATF ban on certain types of AR-15 ammo, specifically what they call the green tip or the UA. I believe it's UT-80 is the other name.
Yeah, the ones that they consider to be armor piercing, the ones that have the steel tips, basically.
Right. So he's resigning because they won't do this, and he's taking another position in the private sector. But, you know, they couldn't get, and the thing is that O'Dork Boy has been trying to get the AR-15 and other such rifles banned and hasn't been able to get it done, either by executive order or by congressional action, because every time he does, two of the largest lobbies in the world, the NRA and the there's another one that's usually connected with the NRA, and I can't – I'm spacing on it at the moment, folks. Rise up and slap him in the face.
Appropriately so, yes.
Right, because it is a direct violation of the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Not only does that happen, but usually the court, in a rare show of backbone, says, let it come before us, and we will vote against you.
It's a sideline gun control, and that's what drives me nuts. The fact that they are trying to do these gun control measures through these stupid kind of loopholes, just it's obvious. You know, it's obvious because they are failing so miserably to sway the public opinion so fully against guns like they keep on trying to do through all these different false flag attacks, through all of these different campaigns that they put out. It's very obvious. It reminds me of some of the ideas that I've come out with on my show on Open Eyes a few times. When I talk about some of the gun control regulations, one of the things that they're trying to do is they're trying to change things from the generational perspective. So they're trying to change the way that children think of guns so that when they're older and they try to do the gun grabs, then the children are going to be raised up in this environment of fearing guns. And so therefore they are going to be more apt to let a gun control legislation go through or even cry out for it at large.
Exactly. And the thing is, I've heard people over the years say guns don't kill people. People kill people, which is very true.
Yeah.
And truthfully, I take that one step further. Guns don't kill people. Bullets kill people.
Well,
but
you know,
it's all about the idiot pulling the trigger.
Right. It's
and all gun control laws do is take guns out of the hands of law abiding citizens, because, you know, you got a criminal that's buying a gun on the street. They're not going to be, oh, wait a minute. That's an AR-15. That's an illegal gun. I can't buy that gun.
Right. And it's just like the idea of if you're getting robbed by somebody that's carrying an AR-15 that's been banned and you're trying to say, hey, you're not supposed to rob me. You can't rob me with that gun. That gun is banned. Oh, that criminal is not going to be sitting there going, oh, I guess I should drop this gun right here and right now because I am doing an illegal act by having this gun. Bull crap. The criminals are going to disobey the laws one way or the other. It's been said time and time again, and it is absolute truth, that the only people that something like this affects, the only people that gun control affects, are the people who are legit legal citizens who would do no crime with their guns.
Exactly. People like me, my dad. You know, we're big time gun owners. We, you know, there's in this house right now, probably eight guns in this house
I'm
right
afraid,
now.
I'm afraid for my life because you have a gun and you're talking to me over this Skype line. I'm afraid for my life, Joe.
Yeah, I am Snidely Whiplash. I'm over here with twirling my mustache.
But that's the attitude of some people, right? I mean, I exactly. saw a video not too long ago that puts everything really perfectly into perspective. This guy, he's got I don't remember exactly the type, but he had a Glock of one way or another. Anyways, he had a video running, you know, where he's got his camera facing the gun. The gun is sitting on a table outside. Like, you know, outside on his porch, right? Mm-hmm. And you can see people walking around and all this kind of stuff. And in the video, he keeps saying, okay, gun, you're sitting there. When are you going to shoot somebody? What's going on? You know? And he's like, I'm really kind of disappointed with the people who are screaming about the guns being a problem, because here I've been sitting with this gun in front of me for the past 10 hours recording video, and it has yet to shoot a single person.
It's true. I mean, what all these anti-gun nuts, you know, that are blaming guns and gun manufacturers for all this, it's like the hysteria with cigarettes and cigarette manufacturers. I can have a pack of cigarettes and I can set them down on a table and they're not going to smoke themselves. It's up to me to open that pack, take one out, light a lighter, and start smoking it. Other than that, that pack of cigarettes is going to sit there inert. Does it have a consciousness? Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, that's the belief you and I both have, that everything has a consciousness. But the same thing goes true for guns. Until it is nothing more than a lump of metal and chemicals sitting there until somebody picks it up and uses it as the tool that it is.
And it is a tool.
Does your car drive itself down the road? If it does, please contact me. I want to buy your car from you. Please. Yeah.
Well, either that or run away because it was obviously inspired by Stephen King.
I was hoping more inspired by, Knight Rider, but, you're right.
Well, we were going with the evil car kind of idea, right?
Anyways, true. Very true. But we are talking about Minimum Underdrive, which was probably one of the worst movies ever made of a Stephen King.
Actually, I was thinking of Christine. Okay.
Now, that one was very good.
That was a decent one.
But, Maximum Overdrive was not exactly one of the best movies ever made off a Stephen King book. It was good. It was okay. It was an okay movie. Emilio Estevez, good job. The woman that plays the chick that he hooks up with, hottie. But the whole, that truck was just too dang weird to be allowed. I'm sorry. Yeah. As a former truck driver, if somebody said, "Hey, you're driving that truck over there," I'd have been like, "Yeah, I quit."
Yeah. Well, you make a great point though with it all. And this is an argument that I've tried to make before to people. And I know I've heard other people make as well. When somebody gets into a car wreck and they kill somebody, do they arrest the car? Do they throw the car in jail? No, the person who is driving is the one that's responsible for whatever happens with that car.
Right. And does the insurance company sue the car manufacturer? No. Do they sue the production workers that put the car together? No. They sue the guy that behind the freaking wheel of the car.
Right. They're the ones that are responsible for the accident.
When somebody is killed by a gun, do they arrest the gun? No, they take it into evidence. They may take it into evidence, but the guy that gets arrested is the guy that pulled the trigger. That's the guy that goes to prison for 25 to life. But now they want to freaking file lawsuits against, Remington, against Glock, against Beretta, Taurus, all these other gun manufacturers.
Yeah, I've heard that angle. I've heard that they're going to start trying to do that angle.
It's the same thing as when, like I said, it's the same thing as suing cigarette companies. Because somebody smoked for 45 years and died of lung cancer or died of emphysema. Huh?
Yeah, well, I like your idea with the suing the car manufacturers even better because, that is exactly what it is. This car is a tool. This car is something that's being used by somebody. And the manufacturer of the vehicle is not responsible for what the person does with it. If there was a defect in it, if the car, again, drove itself because of some kind of defect within it and killed somebody, then sure, there'd be a valid point of suing the manufacturer of the company.
Right.
But I have yet to hear of a gun that picks itself up and fires at somebody unless there's some kind of weird spiritual thing that's going on, or maybe some kind of psychic phenomenon or something happening. But
which is not out of the realm of possibility. Which is
right. Exactly. I've heard things, but
you and I have seen and heard a lot of things over the years and investigated even more. So it is not out of the realm of possibility, but even in a weird spiritual or psychokinetic thing, there's still some human entity involved.
Or some entity of some kind, at least, yes.
And, exactly.
And that's exactly right. It's still not the manufacturer's fault. So it's a great point with it all. And this is part of the straw manning that goes on with this whole argument against guns. There was a commercial that I saw a while back. I wanted to speak about it here because getting back to the generational kind of thinking, this one is a great example. I'd love to get your take on it, Joe.
Okay.
So on this commercial, this was a commercial from California, if I remember correctly. It was
yes, the land of fruit and nuts.
It was a public service announcement that was done there.
Oh, my God. A PSA out of California?
Yes, boy. You can imagine where this is going to go.
Let me get the duct tape dispenser warmed up.
Yes, you're going to need it for this one, Joe. I swear you're going to need it for this one. So in the video, you see a boy who is looking around a corner and sees his mom sitting on the couch. His mom is sitting there watching TV and knitting or crocheting or something silly along those lines. So he's got this look of trepidation on his face. He's very concerned as he's looking at his mother. And then he turns around and he starts walking away and he walks up the stairs. So then the frame shifts to him going into his parents' bedroom, and he gets into the top drawer of his mom's dresser, and in there is a gun, and he pulls the gun out and he takes it to his room. In his room, he has his duffel bag. He puts the gun into the duffel bag and zips it up. The frame shifts to the next day. They're at school. You see kids wandering around. The kid is now sitting in class, and he's got his duffel bag sitting right there beside him. The class ends, and as the kids are walking out, he picks up his duffel bag and he walks up to his teacher sitting at the front of the room. The teacher has this, you know, look on her face like, oh, hello, fellow student. How are you today? And the kid puts the duffel bag on the table in front of her, zips it open, pulls out the gun. And if the frame shifts to the teacher and you see this look of, oh, my God, it's a gun. Oh, my God, we're going to die. And the kid puts the gun on the table and says, I'm afraid to have this in my house. Can you take care of this for me? And the frame ends, and basically the words on the screen are basically along the lines of, you need to do this.
Okay. First and foremost, there are three things that I find absolutely, utterly, and completely reprehensible. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I caught myself because I got the duct tape. I got a duct tape turban going on here because the more you talk, the you know, hitting. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all,
let me gauge how you're feeling right now. Okay, I'll be able to put it very succinctly. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty much you right now?
Yeah, pretty much. Thank you, Tom Hanks, because that is Tom Hanks.
Yeah, Tom Hanks from The Money Pit. Yeah.
Yes, that is so Tom Hanks.
Best laugh in a movie ever.
That's when the bathtub falls through the floor. I remember that line succinctly. That's when the bathtub just falls through like three levels and smashes in the basement.
Yep. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, there is no parent on the planet that is going to leave a gun in a drawer where a kid can get to it if they have any type of brains in their head. So the fact that this kid walks upstairs into mommy and daddy's room and gets a gun out of the drawer is crap.
Yes. That was my first thought as well. Yes.
Second of all, even if they're that freaking brain dead, they're going to go and they're going to open that drawer at some point because it's probably the sock drawer. It's probably a drawer they open all the time and they can see the gun. They're going to notice the gun's missing and they're going to tear the house apart. They're going to be calling the police, whatever. And third, the kid brings the gun to school, puts it in the teacher's desk, puts it on the teacher's desk. No.
My take on that was this is the perfect way to teach kids how to get shot.
Yeah, or the perfect way to how to teach kids to get expelled.
Yeah, that too.
And, okay, for the state of California, California, yes, I am the governor.
Don't be a girly man.
Thank you for coming to California. Okay, for the state of California to have probably spent somewhere on the order of $10 million on a stupid PSA because you got to be afraid of guns in your house. You just got to be afraid of them. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, guns are not something to be afraid of. Stop the fear. Stop the fear mongering. Guns are just tools. I have several of them in this house, and I am not afraid at all. I have an 8-year-old son that lives in this house with me. He is not afraid of guns. We have raised him to not fear them. We have raised him to respect them. And that's the key, ladies and gentlemen. It's a tool. Is it a dangerous tool? Yes, it is. It is something to be taught respect of, not to play with, not to abuse, but to have respect for.
It's a tool that's as dangerous. It's on the same level of a sharp knife or an axe or anything along those lines. You have to teach the kid to have respect for that tool.
Exactly.
It's no different.
And, you know, this state-sponsored... I'm moving to Texas. That's all there is to it. I am moving to the state of Texas, where the minute you move to the state, if you don't own a weapon, they issue you one.
Yeah, it's part of the welcome wagon, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Either that, or you, me, and the kids, all the kids, and your wife, and whoever wants to join us, are all moving to the state of Hawaii. Want to come? I'm moving to Hawaii.
Absolutely. I would definitely appreciate that with the weather that we're having lately. Well, oh, yeah. one of the things that came to my mind
was
this.
I'll fly. I'll have to put your – either knock you completely out or put your fuzzy butt on a boat.
Yeah. What? I can't drive there? Come on, man. The thing that drove me nuts about this commercial was the fact that, okay, the kid is scared of the gun. The kid is scared that the gun is there in the house. Why? Why was the kid scared of the gun? Why put this out that you have to be afraid of this gun that's sitting in a drawer somewhere collecting dust? Was the mother going on a rampage, whirling the gun around in her hands and, oh, look at me, look at me? No, she's sitting there freaking knitting in front of the TV. What was there to fear with this gun being in the house?
Nothing. And that's the point. They don't want you to fear what the gun, you know, the people that could wield the gun. They want you to fear the gun.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to get across, is that this is what they're trying to indoctrinate the kids today to be like, to fear the gun in every way. You see it with the active shooter drills that go on in schools, which in some states are mandated to be put on every month. You know, they go in with police officers going in dressed like criminals, dressed to the nines in all of their gear and everything, putting the kids up against the walls, holding their guns up to the kids' heads, on and on and on. This actually has happened, Joe, where they will go in and they will pull out little Jenny, who's 9 years old, from the wall that they've pinned all the kids up against, and holding their service weapon to the kid's head. And the one cop that did this, and this was again in California, if I remember correctly, is either there or it was in Oregon. But anyways,
again, the left coast,
the cop had his service weapon, had his service pistol, put the gun to the girl's head, right? To make her be afraid of the gun. The gun was loaded.
Yeah. Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. And the thing is that, as the son of a police officer and somebody who was contemplating a career in law enforcement, if my watch commander or lieutenant or somebody had said, this is what we're going to do, you're going to take that little girl, you're going to put your gun, your 9mm service weapon to her head, because she's got to understand the terror that of what could happen if somebody comes into their school with a gun, I would have looked him dead in the eye and said, no.
Well
if you don't do this, you're suspended. Here's my badge. There's my gun. I'll go find a job in another law enforcement agency.
Yeah, and see, the thing that drives me nuts is that people don't bat an eye at the story like that, right? They don't bat an eye. They just think, okay, well, that's okay. They're cops. That's okay for them to do. But then people lose their damn minds, to quote the Joker, you know? you kill a bunch of criminals, nothing happens. Nobody's fine. You know, everything's fine. Nobody's going crazy. But you try to kill one little mayor and everybody loses their minds, you know? Everybody loses their minds over the story of the family of four who kidnap the son of the family, the 6-year-old son of the family, and put him through mental torture for 2 days because they wanted to teach him a lesson to not be nice to strangers, to fear strangers.
Again, it's about fear. We talked about that on our last show. We talked about that exact case on our last show.
Right.
And it drove, I've been thinking about that all week, and it still makes me want to ram my head through a wall.
Yeah, but it's the same.
It makes me want to ram their head through a wall.
Yeah, but you see, that case right there is no different than the cops doing this kind of stuff, and nobody bats an eye at the cops doing this stuff, but everybody goes crazy over this family that does the exact same mental torture to this kid.
Exactly. And I finally remembered the other lobbying group. It's the NRA and the ILA, the International Long Gun Association.
There you go. Yeah.
I knew I'd eventually get it. You know, my brain may run slow, but it does run.
Yep. Well, listen, guys, we're going to go ahead and take our first break here real quick. When we come back, we're going to continue on, I think probably with the gun control topic, as well as some other topics that both of us have run across that we would love for you guys to hear about. So hang on with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Ben Franklin said, "If you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today." Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change.
At The Secret Teachings, we are not a part of any group, label, and we do not attempt to fearmonger. Some of the topics we discuss may seem scary, so I advise you not to be afraid, but to be informed as we discuss current events and ancient history, astrotheology and symbolism, the paranormal and the occult, the esoteric, health, and much more. I am not here to tell you that what I say is truth, but to allow you to decide for yourself based on the evidence presented and the dots connected. Information is not negative. It is how you view it that determines the dimensional characteristics of either dual aspect of negativity or positivity. Try as you might, but no amount of disinformation, propaganda, rhetoric, or trolling will change the truth. The truth is the truth, regardless if the mass is accepted as is, or if it is accepted by only one out of billions. It is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. For more information on airtimes and free downloads of past episodes of The Secret Teachings, you can visit www.thesecretteachings.info. That's thesecretteachings.info.
Brothers at Arms is not about being militant, though there is a time and place where that is necessary. Brothers at Arms is not about arguing, though there are times where things may get heated. Brothers at Arms is not about who is right or wrong. There are many sides to each issue. Brothers at Arms is about exploring those sides, about dealing with the issues facing us today, about coming together and, through opposing views, understanding the deeper truths that are in the middle. Join Ira Robinson and Joe Long each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com as these Brothers at Arms discuss what you need to know. Brothers at Arms, it's about time.
How do we draw the line between protection of national security, obviously the government's need to obtain intelligence data, and the protection of civil liberties, particularly the sanctity of my home. You've got no right to come into my home.
The government's been in bed with the entire telecommunications industry since the 40s. They've infected everything. They get into your bank statements, your computer files, your email, listen to your phone calls. Every wire, every airway. You're talking to your wife on the phone, you use the word bomb, president, Allah, any of 100 key words. The computer recognizes it, automatically records it, red flags it for analysis. That was 20 years ago.
Sooner or later, you have to bring in an element of persuasion, an element of getting people to consent to what is happening to them. We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude.
It is most definitely time to send them back to hell. What do you think, Joe? Do you agree with that thought?
Oh, yes. Although I don't know if hell is... I think hell's too good for them, if you really want to know the truth. We need to find something a little deeper or darker.
Absolutely, absolutely. By the way, that's Sleestak Lone Wolf. He sent me the file a couple of days ago and said I can use it on my shows. I definitely love it. It's absolutely perfect, especially for your and I show.
Yeah. I was sitting here. Sorry, it took me a second there to respond. I was jamming.
Pretty grooving.
I was jamming.
I love that song.
That was some smooth sounds.
Yep. So, Joe, do you have any kind of continuing thoughts on the gun control stuff, or did you want to go on to the next topic? I'm going to leave it in your hands.
I could spend years on gun control, because gun control is one of, you know, where Ira has his trigger points and his pet peeves. Gun control is mine. Gun control is one of my biggest pet peeves, because according to the Constitution, and I know most people out there listening have never heard of this concept, that we are a constitutional democracy, ladies and gentlemen. And according to the second amendment to said Constitution, government shall not infringe on the right to keep and bear arms, which means that we can have weapons, guns, bang, bang.
Yeah. And it never signifies or designates what kind of arms those are. That's one thing that people keep trying to push is, oh, they meant muskets, or, oh, they meant the little single shooters that they had at that time. They didn't expect that people would start coming out with these, machine guns, and that they would come out with these massive assault weapons or rocket launchers and so on and so forth. And so therefore we have to think in their terms. We have to think in their line of thinking, that we have to think in the context of where they were in that time period. So that's the only kinds we're allowed to have.
And I call bull on that, because not long after the Second Amendment was actually written, Samuel Colt actually patented the first six-shot revolver, ladies and gentlemen. Samuel Colt actually patented the first, what was then dubbed the Army pistol, the Army revolver. And it was a six-shot, cap-and-ball, percussive-loaded pistol. Sorry, your argument doesn't hold water.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, we have other things that we need to really touch on tonight. And like I said, I don't know if my duct tape dispenser can actually handle another round.
If it's going to hold out. Huh? You don't know if it's going to hold out.
No, actually I do not. Because, you know, I'm just sorry. Gun control. Does there need to be some reasonable restrictions on weapons? Yes, there does. Yes, I'm not going to say that there doesn't. You know, if you've got a criminal history, you should not be able to walk into a gun store. And depending on your criminal history, you know, like somebody who has a criminal history for driving while suspended or DUI or something like that. Okay. Yeah. That's not a big deal. But if you've got a criminal record for beating the snot out of your wife or beating the snot out of somebody else, or, you know, robbery or something along those lines, violent felonies, no. You have lost your right to own a weapon. Because yes, to keep and bear arms in this country is a right, but it's also a privilege and a responsibility. And those three things together make it a right. You have to be, one, you have the right by law to own a weapon. Two, you have a privilege to own that weapon. And three, you've got a responsibility to use it responsibly and legally. If you violate one of the last two, you lose the first. That is my opinion of it, and that's where I'm going to leave it lay, or we will talk about this for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, well, I'll just end it with the fact that I am in complete agreement with you. To me, the people that are using the First Amendment rights to fight against the Second Amendment rights are doing everything that they can do to destroy their own First Amendment rights, because the only thing protecting the First Amendment rights to from being destroyed is the fact that the Second Amendment rights are protecting those First Amendment rights.
Right. So, you know, people like me who can, you know, I have the right to carry. I can walk up and down the street, you know, with a gun in my hand and have them. You know, somebody sitting there screaming and yelling that, hey, I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like, and you know, somebody comes up and tries to stop him from saying that. I have every right to come up and say, click. No, he has the right to say that. Why does he have the right to say that? One, it's in the Constitution. And two, I got the gun.
So to change the subject, because I know that you could go on and on.
Years. I mean, years we've been having this discussion.
Yeah. So the House has now introduced a bill to repeal the Patriot Act. I'm going to read a little bit of the story here for you guys. Representative Mark Pocan, a Democrat from Wisconsin, and Representative Thomas Massey, a Republican from Kentucky, have introduced the Surveillance State Repeal Act that would end the NSA's unconstitutional domestic spying. Representative Massey said, "Our founding fathers fought and died to stop the kind of warrantless spying and searches that the Patriot Act and the FISA Amendments Act authorize. It is long past time to repeal the Patriot Act and reassert the constitutional rights of all Americans. I am proud to co-sponsor Congressman Pocan's bill, and I look forward to working with him on this issue." So what do you think of this, Joe?
Okay, first and foremost, does Spock have a goatee in this universe? Because I would expect a bill like this from a Republican. I really would expect a bill like this from a Republican, you know, who is a little bit more conservative, a little bit more personal freedoms, personal liberties. But the fact that the originator of this bill is a Democrat? Huh?
Yeah, I didn't tell you about that part when I read it earlier to you.
Huh? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Democrats are all about big government. They're all about the nanny state. And the Patriot Act has been their baby for a long time.
Well, I mean, you got to consider as far as
yes, a Republican president and a Democratic Congress put this into play right after 9/11. But the Democrats have been using the Patriot Act to nannyize us for the last for the last 13 years.
Is that a Joe word?
14 years.
Is that a new Joe word?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
So the Patriot Act actually
was – I demand
a
quarter anytime somebody uses it.
The Patriot Act was put into place, yes, right after 9/11, but it was on the books far before that. You know, they came out with it basically within one day and said, here's the bill. They had it. They had this thing pre-planned a long time ago.
Well,
and they were just waiting to put it into place. So
9/11 was pre-planned.
Yeah.
It was
false flag without a doubt. So,
and we will discuss 9/11 at some point on this show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. But so the Patriot Act is being used to subvert every right that we possibly could get and every right that we've had all along, even though our rights on the surface basically are kind of just a shadow, you know, they're not really there. If it was a true right, there would be no doubt whether they could be given or taken away. If they can be taken away, it's not a right, you know, it's just a privilege. So anyways, but that's my kind of rant on that part of it. But yeah, the Patriot Act is one of the worst pieces of trash that's ever been foisted on the American public, closely followed by the Obamacare Act. So
I would actually put for brain care above the Patriot Act.
Not me.
Okay, let's put it this way. We'll put them on equal footing because they both do the exact same thing. Destroy personal liberty.
Yeah. Well, I will definitely agree with you on that part, on that portion of it. Yes.
But, you know, the fact that, you know, a Democrat is sponsoring this bill and was the original writer of this bill. Just, you know, it's like, wow, whoa, wait a minute. Did we slip into a parallel universe that I didn't, and I didn't realize it? Okay. I think I might actually like it here. I don't want to go home.
Yeah. Well, my thought was an actual sensible bill coming from the representatives. I think I'm actually rather surprised by that. Now, my take on it right away is number one, this bill is never going to pass.
I guarantee you this bill probably will never even see the floor.
No, it's never going to. But it's good that they at least have gotten the word out, you know, that they're at least somebody is trying, basically. But my second thought is, and I'll kind of agree with Ryan Gable when I talk to him about this one. Ryan Gable, the host of The Secret Teachings at thesecretteachings.info, he was on my show on Wednesday and we were talking about this. What he said, and I am in total agreement with it, is that if I was one of these two guys, I would not be getting onto a plane, I would not be driving anywhere, and I would have somebody testing out my food for the next at least few months because somebody's gonna get these guys. the guys in the that are smoking cigars in the dark rooms right now are going, oh crap, we gotta get these guys out of here. So. That's my impression of it.
Food taster!
Yes. So that's my thoughts as well. It's something, I mean, yes, it is on the surface. It is definitely a good, and I do hope that it does go somewhere. I hope that it gets some traction and actually follows through.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's attached to it, I guess, would be my question.
Exactly. Because
they always attach bull crap stuff, you know, the quote unquote pork crap that gets attached to all of these things. You know, what is on it
what
as a writer?
What riders are going to be put on this bill? What amendments are going to be tacked into it?
Right.
you know, what dam projects are going to be spearheaded.
Good reference. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what comes into my mind with it. So
what bridge to nowhere project is going to be have to be added to get this thing passed?
So did you hear about, and again, I kind of talked about this on my show the other day, but I wanted to get your take on it. Did you hear that the WHO, and I know you just love that organization.
You're trying to make me hit my head explode tonight, aren't you?
The Cancer Research Division of the WHO, again, another trigger point for Joe, has actually come out and said that Monsanto, the glyphosates that they have come out with Roundup, you know, the Roundup weed killer, the main ingredient of it is the glyphosates, that is probably carcinogenic to humans. And now Monsanto is threatening to sue. They're saying that they don't understand how the WHO could come out with this, that it's based on junk science and deceit and all of that kind of stuff. So for me, this is the pot calling the kettle black, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm sitting over here laughing myself silly because you've got Monsanto, the largest agribusiness in the world. I mean, they are the largest multinational agribusiness company in the world. They have so many subsidiary companies. I don't even think the guys that run Monsanto know how many businesses they have. Going up against the World Health Organization, neither one of them could find their collective rear ends with both hands on a roadmap, and they wouldn't know the truth if it came up and did a hula dance on their face. And you
love the metaphors tonight, Joe.
Huh?
I love the metaphors tonight, Joe.
Okay, you've got the WHO saying, oh, these glyphosates cause cancer. And then you get Monsanto saying, liar! And the other one saying, liar! And it's like, okay, wait a minute. When two liars are calling each other liars, does that mean they're telling the truth?
Yeah, it's like the two wrongs make a right, but three left turns do, you know? I mean,
it's just like, okay, I find that absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, now to go with this,
I'm still laughing myself silly over that.
Well, you're going to love this part then, because to go with this, Patrick Moore, who is one of the, members there and who is a big, party proponent of the whole golden rice, the genetically modified golden rice that's put out by Monsanto. Mm-hmm. He did an interview with a French news team a few days ago, and some of the what was said in the interview, I wanted to play this portion of the interview for you so I can get your thoughts on it. So let me play this for you and see what you think.
I do not believe that glyphosate in Argentina is causing increases in cancer. You can drink a whole quart of it and it won't hurt you.
You want to drink some? We have some here.
I'd be happy to, actually. Not really. I know it wouldn't hurt me.
If you say so, I have some glyphosate.
No, I'm not stupid.
Ah, okay. So you.
No, but I know.
So it's dangerous, right?
No, people try to commit suicide fail fairly regularly.
Tell the truth.
It's not dangerous to humans. No, it's not.
So are you ready to drink one glass of glyphosate?
No, I'm not an idiot. Interview me about golden rice. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, then it's finished.
Except,
the interview is finished.
That's a good way to solve things.
Yeah. You're a complete jerk.
The best defense he could come up with, you're a complete jerk.
Well, he is talking to a Frenchman, and most Frenchmen are complete jerks, but this guy actually didn't sound like a complete jerk. I mean, he's the one that made the comment that you can drink a whole quart of it and nothing will happen to you. And when he's presented with a glass of it, he doesn't know. Well, I'm here to talk about golden rice. Wait a minute. Huh?
I love how he's like, I love in the portion of it where he's like, people try to commit suicide on it and they fail fairly regularly. It's completely safe for human consumption.
Okay. Then
you cannot take those two statements and make them equal.
Exactly. And I love, here is a glass of it. You're ready to drink. I'm sorry. It's just like, you're a complete jerk.
I thought you might like that one.
Shoot. I'm sorry. I mean, it is. It just goes to prove the corporate mindset.
Yeah.
And it proves the corporate mindset and why, truthfully, farming should never have become a big business. It should have been left to the – and ladies and gentlemen, I am from Indiana. I have many friends that are family farmers.
Yeah,
and that's where it should have stayed.
Well, we're from Indiana, so you know we're genetically bred to know and understand every single thing that there is to know about corn. So, just to throw that out there, you know,
we could probably grow corn on a sidewalk if we really tried.
It's in our, we're genetically modified to understand corn, I guess. But anyways, so
corn and basketball. Hey,
but you're right. The fact is that when it comes down to the truth of things, the fact that family farming has been so destroyed over the years is a testament to how things have changed so radically. You have now these huge conglomerates that are set up that are there for one thing and one thing alone, profit, as opposed to the family farm situation where, yes, the profit was definitely there. The profit was definitely in mind. We have to be able to afford to feed our families. We have to be able to afford to plant the crops next year. But at the same time, they were also very proud of what they did. They were very proud of what they were putting out. And they would not put anything out that was not up to their standards.
Exactly.
You don't see that now.
Yeah. We're not saying that the family farm is gone. There are still.
Oh, yeah.
The family farmer is still the backbone of this country, is still the backbone of the farming industry. But you see more and more children of farmers not carrying on the farm because the pride in being a farmer is gone.
Yeah, there's been a big stigma that's been attached to somebody being a farmer, and I think that that is actually intentional. I think that that stigma was put out intentionally to make it so that more of these big conglomerates could be formed, because the more family farms that there were, the more competition against those conglomerates there would be. So the big ag basically has done everything that they can do to propagandize this stigma against being a farmer.
Oh, you're a farmer. You're a hayseed. You're right. A hick. You're ignorant. You're stupid.
Right.
And you can't do anything else.
Right. And the children pick up on that, and therefore they abandon things, you know, later down the line. And these farms, these family farms that have been passed on for generations, basically then go fallow, and the family essentially has to sell it to these big ag conglomerates.
Or they sell it off to real estate developers that turn it into condos.
Yeah. Or the next mini mall or strip mall.
Exactly.
And it's a sad state of affairs. And then you have.
Now, you do have people like my cousin who, when she was up until, you know, actually, I think she actually secretly still has this goal, whose goal was to be the wife of a farmer, who wanted to be the wife of a farmer and run a farm. So hopefully we'll get more people like my little cousin, who want to be the wife of a farmer and run a family farm.
Right. And what I was going to say too is that, you know, tied to this, then you also have the sad situation of the United States Department of Agriculture actually giving subsidies to farmers to not farm their farms. And that is a stupid thing to do. It's abject insanity, especially considering the fact that we have so many homeless in this United States, the fact that we have so many people that are still going through poverty and starvation right here and right now, the fact that the government is paying off these farmers to not farm their lands, to not make use of them, and to not grow food that could be given to these people is a sad state of affairs.
And it's, again, profit.
Yes.
Because if our farmers farmed every bit of land they have, the prices would be so low that agribusiness wouldn't be able to afford to be in business.
Oh, they sure would. They would actually sell more because there'd be more money in people's pockets to be able to spend in the consumer mindset. That is a stupid argument.
Not really, because you and I've had this argument before.
Yes, and you know my opinion on it.
Yes, I do, but they don't. People don't. That's why we're having this argument.
Yes,
again.
I know.
You know, okay, the subsidy program is in place because of the fact that if the farmers farmed all the land they have, the prices in the commodities markets and the prices per acre would plummet, would crash. And a lot more farmers would be out of work. They'd be out of a job. They wouldn't be able to afford to farm. And it's a sad state of affairs because you're not just figuring in the cost of the seed. You got to figure in equipment. You got to figure in fuel. And with the oil prices, what they are now, thank you, OPEC, and what they have been in the past, it was getting harder and harder to, you know, we were pushing $3 a gallon, and then went down to two, you know, almost a dollar. It was almost under two, and now it's back up to almost 250. It's somebody please shoot me because I'm starting to get a major headache from watching the price fluctuate like a roller coaster.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but again, I go with the other side of the argument. Again, you know, look, guys, I play the devil's advocate on almost everything, even though Joe and I basically agree on all the stuff. I have to kind of take an opposing side on some subjects. The fact is that we do see a lot of this land going fallow. There is a lot of land that is just going into disuse and is essentially becoming useless because so much of it is going into landfill now. So much of it is going into, you know, rot, basically, right? So y'all have to also consider the fact that the market, yes, would have those problems at first, right? However, the market would even out. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, I can see your point there. Yes, eventually it would even out, but in the short term, it would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
In the long term, yes.
But it's a Band-Aid situation, right? It's a Band-Aid situation.
What I would propose is stop paying farmers to not farm and instead use that subsidy money to buy up their surplus.
Right.
And to process it and turn it into usable food.
Right. That's my
argument.
And then
distribute it through the food stamp program, distribute it through the WIC program, distribute it through whatever happened to government cheese.
Yes, exactly. That is my argument with this, Joe. The land is going fallow. It may as well be used for something. We have so much problems right now with all of the poverty. We have so much problems with all of the starvation just right here in this country. Not saying send it off to Russia, not saying send it off to China, not saying send it off to Africa, but those things could be done as well. But we have right here in this country, right here, right now, so many people that are on the edge, that are not just even on the edge, but they have fallen off the cliff and they're holding on for dear freaking life. You know, this farmland could be used for a useful, good, positive purpose. But instead, they're going with this profit margin mindset, and it is destroying the whole idea behind everything of it. You see what I mean?
I agree. And like I said, whatever happened to the government cheese program? You even hear about it anymore? It's gone.
Yeah, I love that government cheese, man. That was like some
basically
of the best
cheese
ever. Basically,
it was a big block of Velveeta.
Yeah, but it was awesome, man. That stuff melted nice, and it was all
tasty. Yeah, like you said, it was a big block of Velveeta, man.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll go ahead and get off of this topic. But, you know, I wanted to bring that one up because it really is, I think, an important one that most people just don't really even come close to paying attention to. But it is something that's important to at least be heard, you know?
Definitely.
So I know that you had a couple of other things on your list of things that you wanted to talk about tonight. What do you got next?
Oh, God, what did I do with my list?
You threw it away in the duct tape.
Probably.
Your frantic scramble for duct tape.
Oh, did you hear about Coke?
Well, I heard that Coke has basically been caught paying off health officials to have them come out and say that drinking Coca-Cola is a substitute for a healthy snack.
That's the one I was talking about. And it's like, you know, okay. First and foremost, when I first heard this story, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Is this the late 1800s, early 1900s when Coca-Cola actually had cocaine in it and it was actually marketed as a health tonic?
It very well could be, you know, that the cycle of history does repeat, right? So maybe they're just trying to put that into motion.
Yeah, I mean, and it's true, ladies and gentlemen. When Coca-Cola was originally introduced, it was made and processed with cocaine. And then that cocaine was filtered out. Some of it actually still remained in the drink. And the cocaine was then sold to healthcare providers, because at that time cocaine was actually used as a painkiller and a stimulant or whatever they used it for, because it was not made illegal then. And then they sold the Coca-Cola as a health tonic. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is nobody out there that can tell you that Coca-Cola or any other soft drink is a health drink. No.
It falls into the same idea of them now coming out and saying that saccharin is a potential cure for cancer.
Okay. I just ran out of duct tape.
But that is exactly what the news of this week has been.
Isn't that the reason we have Splenda and we have NutraSweet and we have all these other artificial sweeteners? Because Sweet and Low, which was the big non-sugar sweetener, contained saccharin. And oh my God, saccharin can cause cancer in laboratory animals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they gave saccharin to these different lab rats, for instance, and a lot of them died like instantly. Others grew like massive tumors and on and on and on. But those studies have been recently ignored. But now they're saying, yes, that instead of it causing cancer, it actually can cure cancer.
And once again, we're on the roller coaster ride of the FDA.
And wonderful.
Eat eggs, don't eat eggs.
Yeah.
They're bad for you. They're good for you.
And the wonderful Orwellian doublespeak comes forward again, right?
Pretty. I mean, help. I'm caught. Help me. I'm stuck in a Chinese fortune cookie factory.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And you know, that's a real sad state of affairs when the experts, the men with the lab coats, the ones that have their letters and their numbers behind their names, they come out and they say, oh, well, you know, like you said, eggs are bad, eggs are good, eggs are bad, eggs are good. Don't eat the yolks, eat the whites, don't eat the whites, eat the yolks. Now you can eat the whole thing. Everything's fine. You know, it's an absolute, abject, insane world that we live in. It's
I like your comment when we were talking about this earlier, Ira. I don't want to live here anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to live on this planet anymore. Exactly.
When's the next trip to Vulcan?
Well, you know, they're taking a trip to Mars here pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we'll mess that planet up too.
You're bad tonight.
I'm sorry, folks. I told you it's been a long week.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Oh,
that's pretty much Joe's mood tonight, right?
Pretty much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't recognize that one, that is Rowdy Roddy Piper from a movie called They Live, probably one of the best sci-fi movies one of the best sci-fi movies of all time because of Rowdy Roddy Piper and him just literally kicking butt all movie.
Yeah,
it's a great, great, great
movie. And it's one
movie.
Of the very few movies that tell the complete truth about things, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it is a great movie. It's one of those movies that you got to watch. If you've never watched it, you have to. It is a moral imperative. You have to do it.
So one thing that I wanted to touch on, and this is going to be a brief topic. It'll be real brief, but I wanted to get your take on this because I know that this is something that you're passionate about as well. Okay. So recently there has been a lot of racial tensions and all of this kind of stuff that's going on. The police chief over in Ferguson has now resigned because of all of the trouble that's been going on over there. You see all of the stuff with the Black Lives Matter coming out. You know, we had, here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where we basically live near, neither of us are in the town, but it's where we're near. One of the city congressmen said that, the Fort Wayne Police Department is just like the Ferguson Police Department, that it's all racially divided here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is a complete lie.
I've had family that retired from the Fort Wayne Police Department. The Fort Wayne Police Department quite literally has one of the best racial makeups of any police department in the area.
Yeah. I didn't mean for you to go out the gate yet. Just hold on. You're like the bull with the horns, man. Don't grab it yet. Okay, so anyways, recently Oprah Winfrey was doing an interview with somebody, and she had this to say. I want to play this little clip for you just to get your take on this whole stuff and what all of this is kind of leading us down to. Okay, so take a listen to this.
As long as people can be judged by the color of their skin, the problem's not solved. There are still generations of people, older people, who were born and bred and marinated in it, in that prejudice and racism, and they just have to die.
So they just have to die. You know, that's essentially what Oprah is waiting for.
Oh my God, Oprah! Okay. Sorry, Oprah, but guess what? You're one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, she's just as racist as all the people that she's talking about. You know, a lot of the big wigs in the Black Lives Matter movement and all of that, the civil rights movement nowadays basically has become attributed to these figures that are so prejudiced themselves that they do the whole movement a disservice. Especially exactly. Like you take people like Al Sharpton, who is nothing but a racial divider, even though he owes the IRS $4 million in back taxes. Nothing is done to him. He's still, you know, the media shill. He's still up there on the stage. Oprah Winfrey is the same type of attitudes, the same type of thing. But I want to get your opinion on this stuff. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I agree. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear the word racism or prejudice, the first thing that comes to your mind is white guy, everybody else, any other color. And that is such racism, because I have known Black people that are so prejudiced against a white guy that if they're even in their neighborhood, they'll get the snot kicked out of them. Unless they're completely crazy like me. But, you know, and that's the thing is, you can be Black, you can be white, you can be yellow, you can be brown, you can be purple polka dotted and be prejudiced against somebody else. It is not a Black-white thing. And there's one thing I'll agree with Oprah on. Until some of the older generation's mindsets are removed from the equation, and not passed down to the younger generations, it's not going to change. But unfortunately, these older ones that just have to die, I'm sorry, so you were part of that problem, Oprah. Oh, great talk guru of whatever. Give me Jerry Springer any day of the week.
Well, you know, one thing
at least Jerry Springer was entertaining.
One thing that I thought was kind of sad, I guess you could say, is not long ago, there's a school, I believe it was in Oklahoma. It was either Oklahoma or California. I can't remember for sure which at this point. But anyways, an earthquake occurred, and there was damage that was done to the wall in the past, this wall that was in the school. And the wall basically was starting to break apart, so they had to remake the wall. Well, the wall had a mural that contained figures like Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., and figures like that, basically, on this wall as a mural with, like, inspirational words that these are people that you should look up to and follow, basically, their idealism, right?
Yeah.
Well, when they remade the wall, instead of repainting the wall with these figures, they put figures like Oprah Winfrey, Al Sharpton, Lady Gaga, who was the other one? I think Britney Spears was on there.
Oh my God.
You know, this type of person that was on there. But, you know, specifically those were examples that were given of this mural. So that, I think, is a sad state.
How do you go from Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to Lady Gag
as being somebody to look up to as an idol, right?
Britney, I'm going to shave my head, Spears.
Because I lost control of my mind control. Yeah, exactly.
Oprah Winfrey. I mean, yeah, okay, Oprah, I can kind of understand. There was a time I looked up to Oprah, and there was a time I respected the woman for literally starting out with absolutely nothing and building a media empire. I mean, you know, the quintessential American story. Start with nothing, gain everything. You know, by your own hard work and your own bootstraps.
Yeah, I mean, that really is the American way.
It wasn't by her own hard work and her own bootstraps. It was by the fact that she had the right color skin.
Yeah. Yeah, right time, right place, right color, right? Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's a sad state when they look up to those as being the idols or the people that you're supposed to look up to. And this is the kind of indoctrination that goes on with kids, you know? Now, we're going to have to catch another break here real quick. But when we come back, I want to actually get on to the subject of kids a little bit and talk about a topic that I think is very important. So I'll get into that when we come back from the break. Hang on, guys. We'll be back in just a few minutes. There are days that the red pill is bitter in my stomach, but I can't get it back out. I think because I have to. I speak because I have no choice. I walk through this dark age we're in with open eyes. Listen to Open Eyes on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. And together, maybe we won't stumble and fall.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
To hide the truth once you know it makes you think that you are better than everyone else. It makes you into the type of person who says, "Ooh, I have a secret, but you're not ready to hear it yet." However, for $39.95, I'll let you in on the secret. You'll lead the people to the promised land for the cheap price of 3 easy payments of 1/3 of their soul apiece.
Wait a minute.
What are you talking about?
We bugged Mr. Blake's cell.
You what?
We bugged the cell with Arnold's tape recorder. Just listen to this, Paul.
I can't listen to that.
But, Paul.
Opie, I can't listen to that. I'm not permitted.
But, Paul, you don't understand.
Opie, I can't listen to this. Now, I told you about eavesdropping.
But, Paul, this is different.
Yes, it's worse. You overheard a conversation that was supposed to be private. Now, I can't be a party to that.
But, Paul, if you just listen to this...
Opie, I can't listen.
Paul, you're erasing the tape.
That's what I mean to do. You bugged a conversation between a lawyer and his client. Now, that's violating one of the most sacred rights of privacy.
But, Paul...
No buts.
But if it helps the law...
Opie, the law can't use this kind of help. Because whether a man is guilty or innocent, we have to find that out by due process of law.
truly do have to speak with louder than words, man. I'm telling you that right now. Anyways, hello. This is Brothers at Arms, and I am Ira, and I am here with Joe, as always. Hello, Joe.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Good. Had a little technical issue while we were on break. But I think I got it resolved now. So everything's all copacetic.
All righty.
Oh, I love that song. I was that, and I also really like the whole Andy Griffith thing. That was very, very cool to me.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of appropriate to play it, considering that it kind of relates to the whole Patriot Act thing, like we were discussing earlier. You know?
Oh, definitely.
You see that kind of thing occurring right now. You know, what are they doing? The whole spying thing. They're listening to everything that goes on. Private conversations are no longer private. And what, this is now the due process of law? That's not what the Constitution says. That's not what the laws say are supposed to happen.
Exactly. And it's just ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yep. So the topic that I wanted to talk about before we got to the break, I mentioned that I had something that I wanted to talk about. This is something that's been pressing on my mind, and I'm probably going to end up covering it more extensively, I think, on Open Eyes as well, maybe next week. But this is something that I really wanted to get your take on as well, Joe, and maybe I can use your take kind of in that future episode. So recently, I've been getting into kind of comment wars, I guess you could say, if you want to put it that way, on different media forums, different media platforms, and in relation to vaccines. You know, that is kind of my big passion point, you know.
Oh, definitely.
The whole vaccine agenda and all of the things that go on with it. Well, what I've noticed when I'm getting involved in these things is that a lot of the time, and this actually, I could say actually a vast majority of the time, when you present people with the arguments against vaccines, you know, the studies that have come out that show the damages that are done, the fact that the CDC whistleblower has now been granted whistleblower status and immunity from any kind of charges from when he testifies in front of Congress very soon. This is the guy that came out last year and said that there was a study that was done by the CDC that he was involved with that basically they fudged the data that showed that there was a link, a direct causal link between vaccines and autism in African American children. And the CDC was complicit in hiding that fact in the study. And he's now going to be testifying before Congress. He has thousands of pages of documents that are going to be turned, that he actually has already turned over to Congress. And so now he's been granted immunity from it. But, you know, so things like this that you present to people, they will either clap their hands over their ears and go, la, 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 I don't want to hear this stuff. Or they resort to the argument of, well, I hope that one of your children never gets one of these horrific diseases like polio or encephalitis from the measles and so on and so forth, because then you'll learn your lesson. I hope that you don't have to learn your lesson the hard way. And they do it with such a venomous, vehement hatred. They wish it upon these beautiful little kids that just to prove their freaking point, they want the kids to go through this horrific damage and suffering just so that their point can be made. And I want to get your take on this, Joe. Let me see what you think, and then I'll give my thoughts on it as well.
Oh, first of all, I mean, it's insanity. I mean, you know, the evidence that vaccines are not safe has been mounting for years. And we're not saying that all vaccines are bad. No, but the agents that they have been systematically putting into vaccines over the last 30 years don't need to be there are.
Right. The adjuvants are horribly damaging, you know.
Right. And there is no, you know, the other thing is for somebody to say something like that, that we hope your child never gets X, Y, Z disease, are you insane? Are you cracked? I mean, are you so fixated on your position? Are you so rigid in your thinking that the only thing you can come back with when presented with these logical scientific arguments is vitriol, is hate, is negativity, is you're a jerk?
My thing is that you have to be very far removed from your conscience and any sense of empathy. There really is a sociopathy to this. It's actually, I think, akin to a mental disorder to be so far removed from your conscience and your emotional capacity to feel for another human being that you would wish this type of thing upon somebody just to prove your point.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. I mean, it's sick.
It's a monstrous attitude.
It's a sick attitude. It's, you know, I don't feel anger towards these people. I don't even feel frustration towards them. I feel sympathy. I feel pity because these people are sick. They need help. They need help.
Yeah, they truly do. And it's very related as well. And not to get too far off the topic, but I think that it is actually on point. But it's very related as well to the religious people that are out there, the ones that are really hyper religious, that are very fanatical and zealous about their religion. Let's take Christianity as a good example, who will say, well, you need to be saved by Christ or you're going to go to hell. Oh, well, no, I'm not interested in that. Well, you know, you're going to burn in hell, right? I mean, I hope that you don't end up burning in hell because you didn't decide to follow Christ right here and right now. What if you die in 5 minutes? What's going to happen to your eternal soul? You're going to go down and you're going to burn in a fiery pit for all of eternity. Ha, 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 ha. I can't wait for that crap to happen. I've seen that look in their eyes. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's very, they're looking forward to it so that their point can be proven.
Exactly.
And it's not all of them, but it definitely is there in a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Although my favorite thing to do is mess with a Jehovah's Witness.
You see it, though, as well with the whole, you know, the Muslim extremists and all of that kind of stuff. They're all the exact same way. You know, they're all the exact same way. So, you know, it's along that same kind of mentality, only instead of it being religious zealotry, in this case, it's a zealotry towards the vaccines.
Yeah, vaccine zealots.
But why is it that the zealots always resort to that as being their final ultimate argument? You know, they don't have any argument otherwise. Yeah,
they don't have an argument. They don't have the capacity or the argument because the science doesn't back them.
Right, right.
You throw a zealot facts and you show them figures and you throw them the truth. They're going to come back with, screw you guys. I'm going home.
Screw you guys. I'm a going home. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it comes down to. So, yeah, I wanted to get your take on that because I think that it is something that is really important to talk about because not everybody really realizes that this kind of stuff is going on. And this is what's leading us to the idea of the forced, you know, mandated kind of vaccine attitude. It's going to be led by these kind of people.
Exactly. And, you know, at that point, I'm going to basically become Mick Dodge. I'm going to go out in the woods. I'm going to do my thing. And, you know, anybody that comes near me, I'll shoot.
Yeah. So what else do you have? I know that you had at least another one or two things that you wanted to talk about, and we're going to run out of time here pretty soon. So.
Well, the only other thing I had is the discussion you and I were having about what's going to be recently enacted into law here in Indiana. Our great governor, Mike Pence, and the Indiana Congress are going to be signing into law a new religious freedom and anti-discrimination bill. You've heard of it, haven't you?
Yeah, most definitely. You and I talked about it a little bit before the show started, and we wanted to bring this to this show just because we both kind of have differing viewpoints on the whole thing. So
Definitely different.
But to
if
give
you're
you guys,
easily offended, stop listening now.
Yes, most definitely. To get to the heart of the matter, the story of the matter. Basically, here in Indiana, we're going to be one of the first states to pass regulation that will essentially make immune any company from being sued for defending their religious beliefs based upon discriminating against whatever groups they want to say, no, we don't want your patronage to. So, for example, and this is one example that's being used the most prevalent, is against gays. And one example is like the recent cases where companies have been sued, like cake companies have been sued by same-sex couples who are wanting to get married and are trying to order a cake through these companies, and because of their religious beliefs, they've refused to serve them, and so they're being sued by the gay couples in retribution for that. So this bill basically would make any companies that are within Indiana exempted or immune from being sued based upon that type of thinking. So go ahead, Joe.
And I don't disagree with this. I do not disagree with this. I will never disagree with this because I've read the bill. I've looked it over. It doesn't say that, oh, because you're black, we're not going to serve you. No, it does not say this. It says if there is a religious, okay, like there's a really good bakery very close to us. It's called Hirely's. They are a very Christian organization. They're a very Christian company. They have not, to my knowledge, have not refused anybody service, but if because of that Christianity and that Christian faith they have, decided, okay, you're a gay couple. We really are not comfortable making this cake for you. I don't want to see them sued out of business because they are sticking to their beliefs. They have the right to say, we are a private business. We are privately owned. We are family owned. We are a Christian business. And we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody. You see it on restaurants, in restaurants all the time. It's on their menus. It's usually on the door. We reserve the right to refuse service to anybody. And that is the right of a private business to refuse service to whom they deem they don't want to do business with. I'm done.
Okay. So to make my point clear with things, let me state this to begin with. Okay. I'm not in disagreement with you on the idea that the companies should have the right to say no to whoever they want to say no to. My thought on things is that if a couple wanted to go to this bakery, we're just taking the bakery for an example, but this can be applied to every business that's out there, folks. Just, you know, kind of make that clarified. It's not specifically for bakeries that this is going on. Anyways, so to me, if I was a gay couple and I knew that this company that I was going to was a Christian business and would likely refuse my service based upon their religious beliefs, I would go to a different company that would take my business. You know, let the free market basically choose who's going to be the successful ones and who's going to be the failures, correct?
Exactly.
I mean, that's my thinking on it. So, I mean, I'm getting that point clarified to begin with, because to me, if I was, again, one of these couples, I would not do business with them knowing that this would be the result of it, you know, that it would just cause a controversy. Now, I will say as well that I think that a lot of this stuff is going on to cause controversy.
Oh, I agree.
Debate to the forefront so that it can be pushed to the Supreme Court and so on and so forth. And I think that is actually going to end up being the results of this law that is being passed in Indiana, that eventually it is going to end up going to the Supreme Court because it's going to get pushed, you know, it's going to get pressed. So, that will end up being decided basically by the high court. Now, to make my stance clear, what I take from this, you know, the problem, I guess I could say, that I have with this bill in particular, harkens to the idea that discrimination under any circumstances by a business should not be allowable under the constitutional laws that we have, the laws against discrimination. We do have laws on the books that state that discrimination under any circumstances, no matter your religious belief, your creed, your sex, your color, no matter what it is, or gender affiliation, any of those things, none of those things are valid points to discriminate against somebody. So that's my take on it. Now, I'm, again, not in complete disagreement with it. I understand the points, okay? But that's my argument about it, basically.
And I understand your points. I accept that. I accept those points. But, again, I say, and it comes down to where does one person's rights end and another's begin.
Right, exactly. And that's where the big problem is with this whole debate.
And the gay and lesbian couples that are literally becoming zealots, they're becoming militants and saying, no, you have to serve me. You have to do this.
Right.
You know, how many thousands of just in the Fort Wayne area alone, how many bakeries, how many flower shops, how many?
Yeah, we probably have 100 of each of those here just right. in our city limits.
And say a handful, 5, 6, 7 don't want to do this. Go somewhere else
That was my point exactly. That was my point exactly.
But if it was me, I would go somewhere else. Because you're not going to serve us because we're gay. That's what this bill is designed to prevent. And we are one of, if we join this group, if he signs this law, we'll be the 20th state to have laws like this on the books. I was just looking it up. We will be the 20th state to have laws like this on the books.
Okay, thank you, because I had heard that we would be the first, so I was incorrect with that. Okay, thank you.
There are 19 other states that have similar laws to the one Indiana has passed.
Okay. But do you not see that this is probably done intentionally to make it so that this ends up getting pushed to the Supreme Court? That they're these couples that are out there that are pushing these agendas like this, they are likely doing it just so that it can go to the Supreme Court.
Yes, and I understand that. But again, why destroy somebody's business that they have put their heart and soul in to push a political agenda?
Yeah. Yeah. There are better ways to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Again, I don't disagree. I really don't. And I know that we kind of seem like we're taking opposing sides, but I am in agreement with you. It's just my take on it is that there is this other aspect to it that really has to be discussed with it. You know, it really is akin to the whole Jim Crow laws and all of that kind of stuff that goes on. You know, all of those things that we have supposedly moved past, these guys are now basically the new blacks, you know.
And I'm not opposed to same-sex marriage. I'm really not. The thing about it is, you know, they have every right to be just as miserable as the rest of
yes,
us.
Yes, most definitely.
And yes. Anybody that's ever been married and gotten divorced and married again and gotten divorced, or as in Ira's case, gotten married and gotten divorced and then gotten married again, will attest it's always the same sex. So what's the big deal?
Yes, exactly. There you go. Right. The whole argument now has been considered invalid, you know? And by the time that everything ends in life, you know, you're walking down the hallway, screw you too, that's sex. You know, I mean, that everybody in that end age, that's pretty much what it all comes down to.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the studies have actually shown that same-sex couples have longer and happier marriage than heterosexual couples.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. And, you know, again, listen, guys, I'm not trying to take, you know, an obstinate stance with it, but there really is more to this issue than just, you know, okay, these Christian businesses are saying we don't want to serve these guys. You know, there's more to it than just those words. There's a lot of background that has to be I guess, worked through with all of this. And I guess the thing that drives me nuts with it all is that it's just another division point that we're being forced to have to deal with, you know, that we're being forced to have to be facing when we shouldn't have to. There's no sense in these people going to these businesses and pushing forward these kind of agendas. Just go somewhere else. Just go somewhere else and leave it alone. It doesn't matter. In the end, if you're just wanting to be married and just wanting to be happy, then why start it off with this negative freaking karma, because you're destroying people's lives?
Exactly. That's the point I've been trying to drive home, you know, for the longest time, is go somewhere else. There are how many other cake shops? How many other, you know, how many other flower shops? How many other card shops? How many other, you know, wedding planners or, you know, event places, whatever. Let it go. Quit being so militant. Quit being so, you know, just let it go, people.
Right. But see, the same can be said for the other side as well, that they're being so offended by these people wanting to be served that they, you know, they're being just as militant. It's just as much heat on both sides.
Exactly.
You know, and both sides just need to stop.
Right. You know, if you don't want to serve somebody, say, hey, look, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not comfortable serving you. Let me give you some recommendations of people that are just as good as I am that would be. You know, do it with kindness. Do it with respect.
Yeah, do it with the Christian mentality that you're supposed to have.
Right. Tell them, you know, I am a Christian. I do not believe in what you're doing, so I would not be able to do a good job for you.
Right. Now, see, though, Joe, let me make this also point with it, okay, and then I'll be done with it, with this side of things, okay? If the people that are doing the argument against this, in other words, the Christian businesses, okay, if they are wanting to actually be Christian businesses, then should they not act in the exact same way that Christ himself would have acted? He was
a servant.
And
turn the other cheek.
No. He was a servant. He served everybody. He washed his disciples' feet. He washed the feet of the whores and the thieves. He stood beside them, defending them. He talked to them. He spent time with them. On and on and on. What these guys are doing by their attitudes against the gay people like this is they are actually doing everything that they can do to push people even further away from the message that Christ had to say. And that, I think, is one of the biggest problems that I have with it, because it's just doing that much more again to prove that a lot of these people that are claiming to be Christians are just wearing the suits and they're not being invited to the party.
Yeah. Very well. Yeah, I mean, I can see your point there. But, you know, if somebody does not believe in something, they're not going to do a good job. So why would you want to go to them in the first place?
Yeah, I understand. But again, it's the point of if they're going to be Christian, then
be Christian.
Be Christian. Do it the whole hog. Don't just do it part. Don't just cherry pick. Don't just, you know, I don't believe in what you're doing. Well, Christ didn't believe in what the whores and the thieves were doing either, but he still hung out with them. He still did everything that he could do to help them, and he was still here to save them. So you guys out there who are militant against all of this stuff have to bear that in mind. If you're going to follow the master, follow the master. Don't just, you know, cherry pick what you want to serve. That's what it comes down to me. So we'll go ahead.
Why would Christians follow Bruce Lee?
Good point. Who's the master? Show enough. Anyway, so.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch that movie now, because it's been so long since I watched that one.
By the way, that's The Last Dragon. That was a quote from The Last Dragon for those of you guys out there who are curious.
And now, they're going, huh?
One thing, let's get into an even more offensive topic, Joe. I want to get into something as even more offensive. Let's just finish it off by offending everybody else that's out there. So,
hey, for those of you guys, we've been doing a good job of offending people all night.
For
why
those
not?
Of you guys out there who are still listening, so now, the feminazis are saying are now coming out and trying to say that people should not clap because clapping is a subservient gesture. Now they should do jazz hands if you want to applaud for people.
Oh, my. Yeah. I'm out of duct tape. Ah!
Oh, my God.
Oh, the pain. The pain.
So what's your take on that one, Joe?
Okay. The feminazis have finally done it. They finally completely gone off the reservation. They are gone off the reservation, completely out to lunch. Bye-bye. Jazz hands? Oh, my freaking God. Ugh. Okay. Applauding somebody. How is that subservient? No.
Okay, so listen, here's the explanation. According to the message that was given out by these feminists, feminazis, some people are requesting that we move to jazz hands rather than clapping, as it's triggering anxiety attacks. Please be mindful and respectful of your fellow women. Loud clapping and whooping can be intimidating and distracting when you're speaking on stage. They want to have a women-only safe space.
What?
Yes.
A
direct quote from the article, which I will have on the show notes for this show.
Oh, my. Okay. I don't even know how to respond to that. I really don't know even how to respond to that.
Well, my take on it is this. I can't help but be amused at that last, little snippet where it's the women's safe zones, right? I mean, in what other ass end of society is it socially acceptable to smear an entire demographic of humanity in that kind of way?
I mean, these feminazis believe that women don't need men for anything. Okay, fine. And when you all die out, we'll all be a lot happier, I think. At least my head will quit exploding. Ugh. I'm sorry. That was bad. I should not have said that.
Well, listen, I will
pay a karma debt for that later.
Here's the disservice that's being done with this. And I'm going to take the feminist side with this. Okay. Kind of. Here's the thing. Here's the disservice that's being done with all of this. Okay. So the feminists, and let's take, for example, the feminazis. Okay. But, feminists in general are about empowering women, about giving women the strength to be able to move past whatever it is that they've got going on in their lives, to move past whatever damages they've had occur to them, whatever kind of situations they've been in, on and on and on. The equality, the strength, the empowerment of women, that's what it's all about, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so how much of a disservice does this type of thing do when you put out into people's minds the psychology that women are frail and weak and cannot handle themselves by someone even clapping around them? That
exactly.
Does them a massive disservice, and it puts a pansy ass kind of an attitude into people's minds.
Exactly. I mean, okay. Some of the strongest people I've ever met in my life are women. And I'm not talking physically strong. I'm talking emotionally, mentally. Okay, let's put it this way. The strongest person I've ever met in my life, physically or emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, is my mother. That woman, she's got a nickname, ladies and gentlemen. Her nickname is Dragon Lady. And when the dragon roars, men cower. You can ask my brother. He'll completely agree with me.
Yeah.
I mean, and if she was up giving a speech and she got done and all she saw was waving hands. Oh, my God. My mother would be like, what in the hell is wrong with you people? What is with this waving hands ball?
Yeah. See, the problem that I have with all of it is that it has formed, you know, all of this, this feminazi agenda has formed this victim cult, you know, this serious victim cult. And it's disgusting to see. It's disgusting to see because I know women are just as strong as men. They are just as equal. There is no difference between men and women besides what genders we were born with. There is no other differences. And the differences that are there are equal differences.
Exactly. Men are some physically stronger. Women are emotionally and mentally stronger.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is disgusting to me to see the victim cult mentality that's going on.
Well, I mean, and it started with this whole rape culture thing. Yeah. Well, feminazis have created a victim culture.
Right, right, exactly. And it's just, it makes me so mad. So listen, we've got like 1 minute left for you to finish up thoughts. What are your final thoughts for tonight's episode?
You know, and all that we have said tonight, I hope you take away the fact that one, you can't fear, two, relax and enjoy life. And three, don't get angry. Just open your eyes and look at the world and say, okay, that's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing that you can do when it comes to all of this stuff that we've talked about, anything that we talk about ever, laughter. Laughter is the best thing that you can do. That's why we tend to come at things with as much humor as we possibly can, because laughter is the best thing to do to fight against all of the darkness that can surround us. So guys, listen, we are completely out of time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/BA003. I will have all the links to all the things that we talked about there. If you want to send us an email, send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. I expect to see very offended people sending me emails. If you want to reach us on Twitter and Facebook, go to Open Eyes Network or Ira Robinson at both of those. And guys, listen, until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you again so much for listening. Stick around. Michael Vera will bring you Late Night in the Midlands here in just a few minutes, and I'll actually be on that episode as well, so make sure you stay tuned and have fun out there, guys. It's the best thing that you can do. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. Open Eyes is going to be on latenightinthemidlands.com, 7:00 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.